Hey, crew. Hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Michelob. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
But wait, there's more. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship. Visit originalhooters.com for location information, hours of operation, easy online ordering. Originalhooters.com represents the locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Also, thanks to Brandon Legal Group for their continued support of everything I do in the podcast universe, not only the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, but the non-fantasy content, which can be on anything. The Todd Wright Toddcast approaching 400 episodes. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576. Emails write.todd@yahoo.com. But wait, there's more. Why did I start this fantasy podcast that way? The previous podcast, which I recorded yesterday, ran down. We're at just a natural break to talk about performance of certain fantasy players. Players who have disappointed us collectively. Players who were ranked in my scoring settings, which I've explained many times, so I won't waste your time. You know what how I score my leagues. And I highlighted select names from 333 overall, Kate Otten, all the way up to 144, the $20 scratch off, Travion Henderson. What I realized when I did the air check, going back to listen to my own work, to make sure I like what I'm doing and I'm doing the best I can for you. I said to myself, there weren't enough running backs in that breakdown. So here's the more. We start at 144 this podcast, and I'm going to move up from there with other disappointments specific to the running back position. I have 8 of them for you. And this is all independent of injury. It's not an excuse for any of these guys as to why they aren't performing fantasy-wise for those who invested draft capital in them or picked them up on waivers at some point in the previous few weeks. Perhaps one or more of your guys will be on this list of 8. I have one on here that I've just sort of touched on who has let me down. And then I have an I told you so in here as well. So a little bit of everything, just like anything else. Some good, some bad, some I had that, some I didn't have that at all. So we've already talked about Travion Henderson at 144, and my next one moving up the board just slightly, and I think I mentioned this in the previous podcast, at number 141 through 4 weeks, where all 32 teams play an equal amount of games, in my scoring settings, Ramondre Stevenson. And Ramondre had one game in particular, I think it was week 2, that was worthwhile. If you use Ramondre in week 2, maybe you didn't get a huge pop, but he didn't fall through the floor. Well, Stevenson is 141, barely ahead of Travion Henderson at 144. Think I might have also said on the previous podcast, I obviously don't think very much of Mike Vrabel as a head coach. I've talked about that on the Todd Wright Toddcast. I've talked about that here. The only thing that seems to stand out early in the season about the Vrabels, they can play some run defense. They can do some things on special teams, return-wise. They've given up a return against the Dolphins. Their kicker situation seems as odd as when Moody was kicking for Kyle Shanahan and then just kind of said, yeah, you know what? I'm getting rid of him. I don't care what John Lynch thinks. And look what Pinheiro did in the Thursday night game. We're recording this on Friday, October 3rd, after the Niners defeated the Rams in one of the bigger upsets of the year to start week 5. And we know Drake May can play a little bit. We haven't seen enough of Drake May to know what the end game is. But at this point, we think, yeah, he's worth being out there. There may be hope for him, if not in New England, because until you get the second contract, you're really not locked in. There are big-time drafted quarterbacks who don't get that second contract with their team, and they move on. Who's to say somehow New England doesn't get in Arch Madness? I don't know anything that the Manning family would want to put Arch there, that the Patriots would want him instead of Drake May. But it's a scenario. The Bears moved on from Justin Fields, at least publicly, to clear the way for the diva, Caleb Williams, so he had nobody looking over his shoulder. Maybe another reason why DJ Moore doesn't like this situation and doesn't like Caleb. But we think Drake May can play a little bit. We're not calling for his benching. We're also not saying, how's his bust going to look in Canton? We're somewhere in between. We're not blaming Drake May if the Patriots lose all the time. We'll praise him enough when they win. But it doesn't seem to be consistent with any single fantasy performer. We've had a big Hunter Henry week. We've had a big Stephon Diggs week. We had the Ramondre week. Week one, I don't think was much of anything. So there are your two Vrabel running backs at 141 and 144 in my scoring settings through 4 weeks. And while Vrabel has the defensive background, he's not calling offensive plays. He's, you know, he wasted the prime of Derrick Henry's career in Tennessee. And if you're saying, well, how do you say he wasted him? He put up all those rushing yardage. Yeah, other than 1 year, they didn't win any playoff games. 1 year, they won playoff games, got to the AFC Championship, and then what did they do after that? Zilch. There's Mike Vrabel. Next up the board, not far, is truly one of the bigger failures through 4 weeks, but and how much is this connected to injury? It's Chase Brown, who many of you drafted, I'd say, in the second round. Maybe you left your draft thinking, I can't believe I got Chase Brown in the third round. And now after 1 month, you're thinking, why did Chase Brown ruin my fantasy season? He's 129 overall in my scoring settings. Sure, some of this is connected to the Joe Burrow injury and the fact that Jake Browning doesn't look like the same Jake Browning as 2 years ago when Joe Burrow was hurt. Insert your own Chad Powers joke here. What happened? As things have totally broken down for the Bengals, and I've said a few times this year, they are the Bengals. They kind of find a way to get in their own way. They've made three trips to the Super Bowl in their franchise history. They've lost all three, but they've gotten there three times. But more often than not, we're going on Super Bowl 60. So it happens on average once every 20 years. And they've lost those three trips with three different quarterbacks: Anderson, Esiason, Burrow. If you lose Burrow, wouldn't you think you lean more on Chase Brown, especially if Jake Browning is struggling? No. Is the offensive line bad? Yeah. But Brown can't overcome any of this. And it's a failure through 1 month. And I'm not sure at this point what you do. I don't own him. The last couple years, someone has beat me to the punch on him. It happened again this year. I'm glad I don't have that decision. It's tough when you invest high draft capital in a guy you not only expected to help you win games, but was a set it and forget it starter. He's doing none of that. We talked about T. Higgins at number 182. Chase Brown clearly isn't happy with what's going on. But Chase Brown comes in one spot ahead of Ramondre in my scoring settings at 128. The I told you so is R.J. Harvey. I think the line I used, Gil Alexander, Veasan term, pre-flop, leading up to your fantasy drafts, about R.J. Harvey and his ADP was, I know what's going on here. I can't get there. I have to see it. I have to see Sean Payton use him in the role that was projected and then see him perform in the role that was projected. I get that it made sense. Look, it made sense to the Broncos or they wouldn't have drafted him. This guy had, for running backs, more rushing touchdowns than anyone in a Power Four school last year. He's just not as good as J.K. Dobbins. There may be some pass protection things. There may be some other things. I haven't done a deep dive into why R.J. Harvey isn't playing because I was always of the opinion I want to wait to see him play and be in this role, and he's not. It might take a Dobbins injury to get Harvey more involved. Dobbins may just simply look like and perform as the better football player in Sean Payton's mind. So R.J. Harvey is at 107. Isn't it something that, or I'm sorry, R.J. Harvey is at 128. R.J. Harvey's a spot above Chase Brown. Yeah, through 4 weeks in my scoring settings. At 107 is Bill, Jacory Kroski Merritt. This was another hot rookie name, and especially when Brian Robinson was traded to San Francisco. A couple of things happened here where it goes back to Jim Mora, who he's 90 years old, and a quick story on an aside. I think most of you know I collect many helmets of various teams signed by someone significant to that team. I also collect footballs, Sports McFarlane figures, starting lineup figures, and it goes on from there. I've had some USFL, the original USFL, where my grandfather and I were season ticket holders for the Tampa Bay Bandits in 1984. And I believe we renewed for 85. We weren't there in 83. We felt we were missing out on a good time. My grandfather dropped the $300 total for two season tickets. The senior rate for my grandpa was $150 for the year, not per ticket. Student rate for me, $150. All taxes and charges included. We had a great time. So I've had these mini USFL helmets, they're beauties, for at least 20 years. And just recently I stumbled across addresses for Bobby Hebert, Steve Spurrier, and Jim Mora. And I pulled my old USFL helmets off the top of a filing cabinet in my extra room, mailed them to those three gentlemen with a handwritten note and return postage telling them my grandfather and I had season tickets for the USFL in the 80s. And they all sent the helmets back. And Mora even added playoffs and an inscription to Todd and Ivo to the Philadelphia / Baltimore Stars helmet. Mora is famous for playoffs. He's also famous for some other things he said in press conferences, one of which was, "You think you know, but you don't know, and you never will." When, speaking of Gil Alexander, the Washington Commodores traded Brian Robinson to the Niners, we collectively, I didn't make a big deal out of it here. It didn't really impact my thinking that much, but I was certainly looking at it. The thinking was, Washington is trading Brian Robinson to clear the way for Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt to play more, to be featured. And the Niners are bringing in Brian Robinson because McCaffrey's not healthy. Neither of those things have happened. McCaffrey is, other than being able to score on carries inside the 5-yard line, which he hasn't done. It's the only thing McCaffrey hasn't done through 5 games, as the Niners, surprisingly, despite all their injuries, are winning, something Baltimore with all their injuries are not. Difference? Niners have a capable defensive coordinator calling plays. Baltimore does not. I think that's your difference. I really do. But Bill is number 107, and he had a good first week. Was that the first week? He had like 4 carries for almost 100 yards, or right around 100 yards in a score. One of them was like 60 yards. Not much since for Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. Chris Rodriguez had the big game. Am I saying his name right? In week 4, as the Washington just kind of tries to stay afloat while they manage whatever Jaden Daniels' injury is. He played through an injury last year. They're not doing that early this year. And yes, meanwhile, the division may already be gone. I didn't think they were going to win the division anyway. Maybe they know better. And it's just like, okay, let's not put Jaden out there to get him more hurt where we can't use him the rest of the season. And most think Mariota is one of the handful of more capable backup quarterbacks in the National Football League. But a bad week 4 result, not having Daniels out there. We'll see what happens going forward. Number 87 is Kamara, who had a huge year last year catching balls out of the backfield, although he either didn't score at all or he scored on one of those. Kellen Moore's offense throws two running backs in the bottom 5 of the National Football League through the first month, which also may explain why in a game they were competitive in, surprising to many, Week 4 against what, Buffalo, Moore switched out Kamara for a back that we've wanted to get excited about for some time, Hang on, I'm going to some of my notes. Hold on. Sorry about this. Is he here? Kendra Miller. Season high, 65 yards on 11 carries and a touchdown. And for those who watched, I did not. Explosive at times was a word used. So Kamara, if you thought, well, he's all New Orleans has, they don't really have a quarterback, especially not starting the year with Tyler Shuck, the rookie, they're going to have to lean on Kamara. Well, the game scripts have said otherwise, and Kamara's never been the strongest between the tackles guy. And if Moore's not going to throw to him, then the numbers are down. So Kamara's at 87 amidst our thought, mine, and others. By the trade deadline, which is mid-season, is Kamara gone? Do you move him somewhere else where not only someone can use him more than you are? Breece Hall is next at 86. While the RJ Harvey thing was certainly, we talked about this here on this fantasy podcast pre-flop, the Breece Hall thing goes back to 2024, where I still never got an answer from anybody why Breece Hall was considered going into 2024 fantasy drafts the consensus RB2 or 3 behind Christian McCaffrey. I questioned it. I gave you all the numbers. I gave you all my opinions. I said, beware. And some of you listened to me, and some of you didn't, and you paid for it. And this year, when Hall was drafted in my leagues, whoever took him, it was way down the board. And I said, what a difference a year makes. And here he is showing up in this podcast at number 86. And the only running backs of any significance below him, going in inverse order, Kamara, Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt, R.J. Harvey, Chase Brown, Ramondre Stevenson, Travion Henderson, Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. That's all Breece Hall's better than. The better running threat, the more explosive running threat, is their quarterback in Justin Fields, as he proved in a losing effort to the Dolphins on Monday night. Tony Pollard, who obviously I speak, I've had questions about since he broke his leg, and it's a shame he did, in that Cowboy divisional loss to the 49ers a few years ago. But getting tough yards is not something Pollard does. Scoring is not something Pollard does. The theory they have no one else to give the ball to goes away with Ty J. Spears' return, and it's just a team right now that can't get out of its own way. Under a head coach who's what now, 3-18 or 3-19 in his last 22 games, and very insecure about any questions about why they suck. So the Pollard thing is really bad, and likely this is as good as it's going to be. I don't think in future weeks this might be the peak of Pollard at 81. I mean, seriously, can this get better? I don't think so. I don't see a path to it. There are a lot of other Titans on this board. many worried in the Urban Meyer disaster where he went 2-11. By the way, one of the two wins. Great trivia question. Because they're current coaching names. Name the two head coaches Urban Meyer has NFL wins against from that failed campaign with the Jaguars. You know who they are? Sean McDermott and Brian Flores. Yeah. Back to Tony Pollard. He may be the best Titan on this list. We do think Cam Ward has a future. Io Manor may have a future as well. And they even spent money on their offensive line. But Pollard's at 81, and I don't see it going up. And then DeAndre Swift is last. I made that mistake. I drafted DeAndre Swift to be a starter on my fantasy teams. Not a set it and forget it starter, but a guy who would start games for me, and I could start him because he was the number one back in a Ben Johnson offense. It doesn't look right. Bears spent a lot of money on their offensive line on one player in particular. I thought the money was not used properly, but that was just one player. Ben knows offense. Ben used Gibbs and Monty very well in Detroit. While DJ Moore's lack of success gets most of the attention here, Christian Loveland gets a little bit of it. The fact that DeAndre Swift, the number one running back in a Ben Johnson offense, who's gotten most of the snaps, comes in overall at 73 through a month is not good. And Swift's a versatile player. You know, just comparing him to, say, a David Montgomery, he's not as good of an athlete. He's not as tough. We think of Swift as a pass catcher. Is Ben Johnson using those plays where he should use Smith to catch a ball for DJ Moore to get more involved? And is that hurting Swift? It's messy right now. And you're dealing with trying to develop Caleb Williams, which may not be the easiest thing in the world. But DeAndre Swift is a big regret of mine in one of my leagues, where in my 10-team league, where I drafted him to be a starting running back. And I think I already cut him. I think I cut him before week 4. And I'm still searching for someone else. So there's moving up the board a little bit, playing off the last podcast, some more disappointments. I felt there needed to be more at the running back position after listening to the last podcast. If I made you feel worse, sorry, I'm right there with you, as I just said about my DeAndre Swift pick. In inverse order, Swift 73, Pollard 81, Breece Hall 86, Kamara 87, Bill 107, R.J. Harvey 128, Chase Brown 129, and the combination for the Vrabels at 141 and 144, and we throw in Pacheco 168, Hart 172 back to the last podcast. Those are some bad fantasy running backs that have been in a lot of lineups the first month, or were drafted to be in lineups and were then sitting on benches and might not be on your teams anymore. And if they are, you're really wondering if they justify the roster spot, right? How much better does any of this get? The best scenario is Kamara is traded. I guess, other than for the rookies, we have to give Henderson the benefit of the doubt going forward, unless he gets hurt again. R.J. Harvey, if Dobbins gets hurt, just a rookie. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, just a rookie. Can't say the same for the other veteran guys here. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening. Good luck this weekend. Remember, you can email me any fantasy questions at wright.todd@yahoo.com.